All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's The Usual Suspects, and we're back in studio. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel at the Palatial Gal Media Palace in the Galleria area on the heels of a 8-in-a-row streak from your Houston Texans.
Super Bowl!
A 3-game losing streak by your Rockets.
No one cares.
Thank God. You know, the Rockets, as much as they hate the Texans, have to be sitting there going,
I'm telling
thank
you.
God they're winning, because otherwise this would be so much worse to be in the Rockets front office.
Or just thank God nobody cares about basketball until December or January.
Well, I mean, look, reality says that there's some truth to what you've always said, which is fans of sports that are just casual basketball fans don't think the season starts till Christmas Day.
Yeah.
When all the games are played. So I think the Rockets are actually lucky right now that the Texans are playing so well. But again, the Texans do what they needed to do. They took care of business last night. 8 straight wins. And dare I say that with every win, and you can say the coaching staffs of other teams, decisions on fourth down and missed field goal kicks and backup quarterbacks, but they seem to be building confidence and getting better with every win. And that team looked a lot more complete than it did when you were beating Indianapolis and the Dallas Cowboys. So that was fun to watch last night.
It was a lot of fun to watch. I haven't had that much fun. And first of all, I got to give a shout out to Titan Hugo. I'm sorry, bud. I know that you were. I saw him at the shows this weekend. Mm-hmm. He came out. He brought his wife. He was like, dude, every time I come and see you, the Titans win. So I came this weekend not to support you, just so the Titans would win. And then they didn't win.
How'd that turn out for him? Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's great. He's been very supportive of
shout
the
out to
stuff.
The Texans for the way they handled that Bob McNair tribute, because I was a big fan. I mean,
well, did it go? Was it good?
It was super nice. I mean, the way they had the lights going in the stadium and the moment of silence and the tribute video in the stadium, I was moved by it, man. I thought it was a really good tribute. I'm glad they did that for him.
That's great.
All right, now let me ask you a question. All right, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer on this one. I'm just legit because I saw Granato text it and I saw a couple fans text it. People were kind of did they not send the word out early enough to let people know, be in your seats early for Bob McNair tribute? Because there were a lot of people busting on social media that no one was in their seats to see the video, because as you said, it was very well done, very classy, everything was done well, but they said that their biggest beef was not enough people were there to see it.
You know, I hate to say it, I don't know if the death of an owner is going to really compel people to show up. I hate to say it, man. I hate to say it.
They're not going to show up for a Rockets playoff game on time.
Look, man, you lose a loved one, people feel sorry for you for about a month, maybe less, and then you got to move on. But Bob McNair meant so much to this city. The fact that he spent all that money just to bring the NFL back. Yeah, it is kind of disappointing to see the stadium half empty, I guess, when a situation like that happens. But I didn't expect an increase in attendance because of it. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I don't.
Not increase in attendance, but just be in your seats to see the tributes.
But I mean, think about that. If somebody told you, oh, hey, they're going to have a tribute to Bob McNair on the screen and you're in line getting nachos, are you going to leave the line to go sit down and watch the tribute?
Well, and here's the other thing.
As much as I respect what the man has done, I'm probably not.
I'm with you, because here's the other thing. It was a Monday night game, too. If it was a Sunday and people were just asked to stop tailgating a little early and get in there, and they weren't worried about work and traffic and things like that, I get it.
Yeah.
But Monday night makes it a whole new ball game, because the people are not even worried about tailgating. They're worried about getting there on time. So, but I did see that Granato and other people had tweeted about that, and that's why I was curious. Nick, I knew you were there.
Hey, it's a fair criticism. It's always going to be a fair criticism in this city, right? They've never been able to show up on time. You don't necessarily need an increase in attendance, but if they showed up on time, that means that's an increase in attendance. Like, if it actually looked full come 7 o'clock at NRG, then that means there was actually a lot of people there. I just don't know. And look, shout out to Bob McNair. Apparently, I mean, I didn't even know that he was battling cancer for that long.
For 20 years?
He's a soldier. I mean,
man, that's
like
wild.
Good for him. And I had no idea. So
they mentioned that on the broadcast too, that he had been, and I had no idea.
See, it started out he had skin cancer, but then he had developed other forms
of
cancer.
I think it's right. So, yeah. It started from skin cancer.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you, that's a guy that just fought his battles behind the scenes and didn't make it very public. I would be the biggest crybaby.
That's what I'm saying.
For 20 years? Man, good, props to him.
I had no idea. Even the way, you know, he would always meet with the media after the game, at least at NRG. I don't know if he does that on the road, but, you know, you saw that he was slowing down. I mean, he's obviously, you know, he was getting up there in age, but you didn't notice any severe illness. I felt like he hit it pretty well. I mean, I just thought it was age.
The people that I knew that are inside there were always making reference to the fact that he's not well, but you didn't know to what level and degree that meant. But you're right. He was one of those guys that, like, give him credit. He didn't want to put focus on him. He didn't want anybody, because he knew that obviously there's going to be critics as well that say, we should feel sorry for you. Well, there's a ton of people out there with cancer fighting it that don't have the money, don't have the resources. So for whatever reasons, he handled everything with class. Obviously, later in life and with everything that happened recently, a lot of people wanted to turn on him very quickly. But the one thing that you just can't turn your back on is the fact that without him and his efforts and his team, and all that they did to bring football back to Houston, we may not be talking about the Houston Texans today.
A lot of people texting in, and even Kevin Joseph tweeted us and said that a lot of people don't know the traffic was terrible yesterday. A lot of people didn't get to the game till the second quarter.
I can believe that.
So that might have something to do with it as well.
It could be. Look, I'm not going to sit there and criticize people for not showing up or... Look, it's an unfortunate situation, and you want the team to the fans to support the owner, obviously, but you know it is what it is. I'm not gonna like go on a tirade and
right. Yeah, there's no need for that. I was just curious because the fact that I was, you know, I'm not there. I know you were there, and I was curious because of people tweeting about being there. Like, was it that big of a deal? Because look, otherwise everything kind of lines up for a reason. When the fact that the game that you want to win for your owner features the team that used to be in Houston, the team that he brought to Houston, and with the Texans prevailing, it couldn't have set up any better for the legacy of Bob McNair in winning that game for him.
Yeah. Also, speaking of him and his contributions and stuff, I found it fascinating on the broadcast. They mentioned that J.J. Watt was talking about him and said that every charity event that he went to with Bob McNair, that at the end of the night, whatever amount was raised, Bob McNair would match it. It was amazing to hear that. When you think about, I mean, we hear, like yesterday, we talked a little bit about him and how, you know, philanthropically he was very giving with his time and his money. When you think about a guy that goes to a charity event every time and is matching what's raised for the night, that's pretty badass. That speaks a lot. I mean, say what you want about other things that went on, but... dude is going to give up his money just to match. That's
you can't question the philanthropy aspect of his life for sure.
That's great.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the fact that, you know, like the other thing was even there, he downplayed it. You know, you had to kind of dig a little bit or get other people involved with the charities or his alma mater at South Carolina to be able to find people that wanted to gush about him and all that he's done to try and make the world a better place and help people in need. So, yeah, for a lot of reasons, kudos to Bob McNair. I don't understand the media calling him Mr. McNair. I mean,
that's just weird.
It's kind of weird and awkward there. But at the same time, look, he did a lot of good things. And for that, the Texans, and for other reasons, the Texans did a lot of good things. They played well last night, all three aspects of the game, including special teams. And that was an impressive win.
Is it me or I'm not changing the subject yet, but is it me or does Cal McNair just look a little lost? And I'm not saying he's not. I didn't pay attention enough. I'm not saying that he is, but I'm just saying he has that look of a guy that's like, what happened? What? I agree with you.
I'm
sure he's a very smart man and the organization is in capable hands. He just has that look of sometimes like he has no idea what's going on.
When they showed him on
the field, maybe that's just me with the circumstances. I'm being picky.
But they showed him on the field pregame. They showed him when O'Brien gave him the game ball after the game. But I think that, again, he's been in the background, in the shadows the whole time, just watching his dad and watching how everybody does things. And I think when you're that, you're not comfortable with the lights and the cameras and the microphones. I think it may take some time, and maybe he's not going to be like his dad was and be, you know, a real good communication guy with communication skills when he's talking to the media. But yeah, I get that feeling a little bit as well.
Also, since we're talking about death and people resting in peace, I just want to say rest in peace to the subway downstairs.
Yeah, I didn't know that until you told me.
Shut down as of 2 o'clock today. It will no longer exist.
Well, as
technically, that's not a free plug because they're shutting down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as Matt Thomas would like, has said to you several times, and I believe that he would say to you right now.
I'm trying to hold it together. What?
I believe Matt Thomas would say to you right now. Now, when you come to work and you're hungry and with Subway closing, what will you do?
I don't know. That's the dilemma that I have in my life right now.
I don't have to hear you munching on your damn sandwich in the production meeting every damn day.
Excuse me, Mr. Eat gravel out of a bag. Excuse me. I am so sad. I have no idea what I'm going to do.
The other thing is, our other option, the line gets so long by about 11:45, and it's a little distance away.
Where, at the other sandwich shop across the way?
Yep.
Yeah, and then the burger spot. I guess what I'm going to have to do is stop and get a chicken sandwich right in front of my neighborhood and just eat it on the way. Man, I'm just distraught over this.
It's a freaking Subway, just, dude. Who cares?
Well, I'll tell you what. I went to the car wash today and gladly paid $10 or $12 to get mine done.
Speaking of that, I have a cracked windshield.
Oh, on the new Honda?
A month in, cracked windshield.
At least you got a month. Pissed. When I got my new car, the second day I got it, I saw the car in front of me change lanes, and it's like in slow motion. You go, no. You can see the rock coming right up. Boom. Got me right in the center of the windshield.
$1 million Did
you
for fix a new windshield.
Fixed it, yeah, that day.
You had the
I got a buddy of mine that does the chip fill.
So I know they can fix the chip, but can they fix like a long crack?
Oh, once the line starts going, I don't think they can stop that.
I need to know that. If anybody out there
is it a star or is there a line?
No, it's a line. Yeah, it looks like a stretch mark.
Nah, then you have
it
to
looks like
it.
My windshield has a stretch mark.
Yeah, you're pretty screwed.
Oh, man.
And that windshield ain't going to be cheap either.
No, it isn't. And the next thing they're going to say
is, when you bought
the car new, you had the option of having a warranty and guarantee on your windshield for repair at any time. Did you do that?
That's not true.
That is true.
If it's bumper with to
Toyota,
bumper. If it's bumper
no,
to bumper.
Toyota and Lexus have a deal.
Mine's Honda.
I'm saying, but I didn't know if you had that option as well.
I don't think so. They didn't, but they knew I didn't want to mess with any of that extra stuff, so they didn't even mention it.
So did the other guy.
So I got
you didn't go with.
Yeah, I gotta figure it out. I'm so pissed. But I know as much as I mean,
that's
almost
the worst
have,
feeling in the world. Because like I said, I had mine the second day it did it, and it just puts that pit in your stomach right from the get-go.
I have almost 7,000 miles on my car. And it's already there.
So did it run because you didn't notice it?
So, okay, here's what I actually had. This is the God's honest truth. So when I told you guys I went and got my car washed, right?
Yeah.
And it sucked. And my side mirrors were still real dirty. So this morning in the garage, I got some Windex and some paper towels, and I was cleaning the mirrors. And then I decided I would clean around the windshield because it was a little dirty as well. And while I'm cleaning it, there's no crack. And I don't know if I just pushed on it or if... I don't know what happened. There's no chip, though, where it starts. There's literally no rock chip. So I don't know if it's just a faulty windshield.
I might call the dealer on that one. If there's no chip and no...
There's no chip. It starts under the rubber on the windshield. So I'm like...
You know, it's always dangerous under the rubber, but at the same time, I would
call the
dealer. I
don't know what the deal is, but I was like, that's weird. I didn't clean my windshield, or as soon as I clean my windshield, there's that crack there. So lucky me. Yay. Fun times.
There's a bad line there. But okay, we're just getting started. So the HRP Lister line, wide open right now, but it will fill up. 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number, or you can reach us via Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. Before we head to break, I do want to remind you the Rockets are coming home. Yeah, they've lost three in a row, but they're going to get well starting tomorrow night against the Dallas Mavericks at Toyota Center. And now with the holidays upon us, the Rockets are offering two great packages that allow you to get the best in NBA basketball at a great price. The Rockets are offering a red package and a silver package, and those involve games against teams that you are going to want to see. And one of the packages actually involves the Dallas Mavericks. The Golden State Warriors are on that list. The Toronto Raptors are on that list. There is a lot of teams to be seen in these two packages, and it all starts for as low as $149. That's right. Five-game packages, only $149. How do you beat that? The red pack has the Celtics, the Pelicans, and those Mavericks. So you get to see Kyrie Irving, the brow Anthony Davis, and the rivalry with Mark Cuban's squad. And the silver pack has the Raptors with Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and the Warriors in their only other appearance at Toyota Center and much more. All you got to do is go to Rockets.com or call 713-627-DUNK. Get one of those packages today. And like I said, Five games, as low as $149. There's a Christmas package waiting for you to be given to your Rockets fan in your life, or maybe just to you and your friends.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. Coming to you from Gal Media Studios, it's Nick, Barry, and Joel as we are coming off of an 8th straight win for your Houston Texans, a 3rd straight loss for your Houston Rockets, and so much more to get to as we all can't wait with all the anticipation in the world for the college football announcement tonight of the top 4 teams, which
I don't think it's till Sunday because it's the last one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then I need to change my whole day because I've blocked off an hour of my time to make sure that I stayed just completely enthralled and tuned in.
Yeah. Sure. You did not.
I did not.
I think it's this Sunday after all of the championship games.
Oh, like
because SEC championship. Because then that'll be who determines what. And I think somebody texted yesterday and asked, when do they determine the bowl games? Around the same time, I do believe.
I think that sounds right. Yeah.
Once they announce the playoff teams, then all the bowls fall into place. So,
Now I got to figure out something else to watch tonight.
Go to Vortex with me.
No, because you're doing the boxing thing tonight.
Okay.
Speaking of that, I went to the gym last night when I left here. I give credit to people that bust their tail in the gym, right? But I don't need 60-something-year-old man wearing shiny, hey, look at me tights with nothing over them and like a cut-off Flashdance sweatshirt and then parading around the gym.
Were you looking at his penis?
No. I actually, there's a trainer I know there, and I actually nudged him and I go, you want to impress me, man? I think you got to start wearing the tights.
So he wore tights and a half shirt?
Yeah, like a...
Nick
like
wore that when he went to Vortex.
Flashdance sweatshirt with the sleeves and the bottom cut off.
That was what Nick wore to do the boxing class.
No. I had the, what did I wear? I don't even remember.
I don't know.
Boat shoes?
Oh, yeah. Those shoes were not appropriate. Yeah,
because you didn't. Yeah,
So I mean, you're the judgy guy at the gym.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to get my stuff done. He's chatty guy too. He wants to talk to everybody.
Oh,
and nice. I'm just like, okay, Chief, I get it. You live in here, you breathe in here, you're doing a hell of a job staying in shape, but I don't need all that, and I definitely don't need to make conversation. I'm just trying to get in, get it done, and get out because I'm trying to catch non-peak time. So I flew out of here yesterday to get in and get most of my stuff done before the after work crowd starts rolling in.
You go to the gym like I look at sex. Just get it over with.
Get it over with.
Wow.
You're boring.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Boring.
You're lucky your wife doesn't listen to this show, pal.
Oh, she would be like, yep, testify. Just get in, get it out, get it over with. Don't talk to me.
So it's not just when you walk into the living room naked and she goes, oh,
just
no.
Just like you at the gym. Same thing. No.
And the thing is, the tights.
Where is the gym at?
In Sugar Land. And the thing is that the tights aren't just like simple black tights or whatever, right? They're like, they look like jeans. Like.
Really?
Yeah. So they basically look like your jeans, only there's color splotches on them too, but like there's pockets. I mean, the whole thing, and it's just like.
Is he taking a selfie up against the mirror guy, like where he's like looking in the mirror,
but
taking a picture of himself?
But I wouldn't doubt it. Because he definitely tans, too. Because there's no way in this weather that you're going to be Trump-like orange unless you have some electronic help.
Maybe he spray tans.
So, I understand. Maybe you're competing. I don't know. But stop competing for attention time in the gym. Just get your stuff done.
I'm okay for that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it was a little bit creepy.
All right. So, we'll get to text in a minute. There's not been any great ones yet. The game last night was nothing like what I expected to happen. When they showed the opening shot of Mike Vrabel, I'm not going to lie, I went, uh-oh. Because he kind of had this smug look on his face like, I beat you once. I beat old Billy Belichick. I know how to beat you guys. And that was the feeling I got. That was obviously not what happened. But I think the first and foremost thing that I don't think people are giving enough credit to the Texans and the offensive output that they had in this game, because when you think about it, the Titans team was giving up 18.9 points a game, second best in the NFL, and they threw up 34 of them like it was nothing. Like they even, I think that gets lost on people that this, the Texans are actually a little bit better against the rush, but this is a Titans team that was top 10 against the run in the NFL.
I think it's funny too that coming off of the game of the year that everybody said the Chiefs and the Rams, and everybody goes, oh, and what a letdown. And then we got to watch Titans and Texans like watching paint dry. And after a quarter, it looked like points wise, it was going to be the same kind of scoring output, and it was impressive. I mean, look, and that was with the Texans having to come from behind because Tennessee jumped on him early, took advantage, and was up, 10-0? Or they put 10 quick points on the board.
Yeah, they put 10 up right away, and then that's when the Texans rattled off, 24 unanswered or something like that.
And the running game. We had talked about the running game, but when the running game looks like that, and you got to get, like you said, you got to tip your hat where credit is due. Offensive line opened up some holes. But boy, oh boy, you were right. Blue looked good again, and he's starting to look better and better. And Lamar Miller, I don't know if people said he had gained weight and took it off and whatever the case may be, but my goodness, I think Channel 13 was saying, too, that he had been getting heat in the locker room about being caught from behind because he wasn't as fast as he normally. That 97-yard run, he created distance on the way to the end zone.
Except for who was 25? If that would have been a 110-yard field, if that would have been a Canadian field, a CFL game, he would have got caught. Because I don't know who 25 was. I'd have to go back and look. Or
was
maybe
it Dory Jackson?
Was it 25? I don't remember who it was, but somebody comes out of nowhere and almost catches that dude. I was like, wow.
Well, he was kind of open about it. He says in practice he never runs more than 20 yards. He admitted that.
Lamar Miller?
Yeah. Oh, he admitted that after the game. So, I mean, he normally you don't run for that long. And so, yeah, most people are concerned when that's not the first time I've heard a teammate like being concerned when they see a running back get that break.
Oh, man.
They're like, man, I hope he doesn't get tired. I hope he doesn't get tired.
I was thinking the same thing. And then, yeah, it was a Dory Jackson who damn near caught him. Like I said, if this would have been a CFL 55-yard field, he probably would have got caught. But good for him for getting that big-ass run broken off. And
what, he 168 for the game?
Yeah, and even if you take away that run, I mean, that's still a good production from the run game for the Texans offense. And you know, it's Deshaun Watson's not putting up sexy numbers, but he doesn't have to.
Right.
He threw for two touchdowns. He threw for a couple, 200 yards, runs in a touchdown. I love the touchdown run call by Bill O'Brien. I don't think he's going to get enough credit for that. I don't think he's going to get enough credit for the game that he called. I was pleased.
We talked about it yesterday.
I was pleased with the way he called the offense. I saw people bitching about his play calls at the end of the game. Like, why are you passing the ball? I like that he stayed aggressive. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can just go out there and three and out and punt and then see what happens. He stayed aggressive with 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, decided to throw the ball around a little bit. I was fine with that because you don't want to lose that aggressiveness. You don't want to just get super conservative and start giving up, touchdowns here and there. So, I mean, I'm not saying it was a perfect game, but I say they may have played the best game they've played all year.
I agree, because here's the thing. You look at the streak, and like I said, when the streak started, everybody was pointing out, and it was easy to do because this team wasn't playing great football even when they were getting wins. And you know the fourth down situations with Frank Reich and Jason Garrett, and then you know the missed field goal and then in Denver, and you know the what happened with the backup quarterback situation with the Bills. But the nice thing is, you just play the schedule that's given to you. And along the way, they're not just basking in every win. They're getting better because last night you had balance between the run game and the pass game. The defense played good. Special teams set you up for your first two scores by getting good chunks of yardage to put you in a good position to go to work right away.
Yeah, DeAndre Carter had a hell of a return.
Yeah, your field goal kicker got back on track. Fairburn was making his field goal kicks. And I agree with you as well in the fact that, look, they've been burned and got into close games because the knock on Bill O'Brien is always hyper-conservative. Mm-hmm. So national TV stage and making sure you're not going to get embarrassed in more ways than one because anything you do wrong is going to get magnified. So you just kept busting them in the mouth and not holding back, and you stepped on their throats. I loved it.
And the front seven on the defense played out of their minds.
Dude, do yourself a favor and look at Christian Covington when he came into the league, and look at that man now.
Covington and Watt and even Bernardrick McKinney
Reader
played well.
Reader was
Merciless
all over the
showed
place.
Up.
Yeah, quietly, DJ Reader's having a hell of a year.
That front seven played outstanding.
Yeah, so I don't know where your believability factor in believing in this team is now as opposed to when the streak started or midway through. But after eight straight wins and that performance last night, I'm starting to believe more and more that this team could do some damage. And when you look at the schedule and look what everybody around them has to play as opposed to what the Texans have to play down the stretch, this team could get all the way up to probably two in the AFC.
I'm saying that, I mean, even the way their schedule looks, even if they lose two games down the stretch, that's 11-5. Raise your hand if you thought the Texans were going 11-5 this year. Raise your hand if you thought they were going 11. Put your hand down.
Well, watch the video.
Raise your hand if you thought they were going 11-5.
Some fence
starting
games.
0-3. You counted them out
way,
just like
yeah,
me.
There's absolutely no way.
It's insane.
We all had them buried, and we're putting the last scoop of dirt on them after 0-3.
Yep.
So if you believe for an instant that this team was going to be a playoff team after that start, well, you've drank more blue Kool-Aid than anyone can probably swallow in a year. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. USA Mike, we see you. Hang in there. We'll talk Texans with you next. And if you want to join USA Mike, get in here on the phone line, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, where you can call and or you can text. And, of course, you can always reach us via Twitter. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday right here on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We were talking a little bit about the Texans and then some in the big win last night against the Titans, the eighth straight victory with a two-game lead now in the AFC South for your Houston Texans. And the fact
franchise
that they're playing, they're playing better with every week. And maybe they'll crack the top 10 in the power rankings sometime soon. I think that's
somebody
of contention
on the show
with you
here
a little bit.
Had him at 8 and got made fun of.
Not by other people on your show, by the way.
That's true.
Let me point that out.
Yeah. You want to take USA Mike's call?
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah,
USA
it has
Mike,
been
what's
a while.
Up, man? Where you been?
Man, work schedule changed, so I apologize about that, man. Happy holidays to y'all.
Happy holidays to you, man.
I just wanted to get in and say real quick, I wasn't doom and gloom at 0-3, but I definitely was thinking 7-9 or 8-8, middle of the row, which I thought would have been a disappointing season. And my second point is that I'm just giving y'all kudos for bringing that up last segment because that's literally what I called about. But the other point that I wanted to bring up is that I don't know if we ever are going to get that explosive Deshaun Watson from last year, and I don't think that we need it. I was looking up, watching the game yesterday, and it was like 3 or 4 plays, and I looked up, and I'm like, wow, they're already on the Tennessee 30. So it looks a little more fluid and a little bit like they're picking up chunk yards, even though you still have the, you know, run into the tackle from time to time. But the run game looked a lot better, especially with Blue. And I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate you, Mike. I will respectfully disagree with you on the Deshaun Watson explosive plays point. He had 70 yards rushing. That run up the middle for, I think he gashed him for like 30-something yards, was pretty explosive. And he flushed out of the pocket. Then he had the designed run to the flag to get the touchdown. He looks good to me. He doesn't look like he slowed at all to me. If anything, I mean, he did have the punctured lung and all that. So that, you know, there could be some soreness or some lingering effects of that. Plus, he's still getting hit every day. But I don't really feel like this is a guy that's lost a step.
I don't either. I think the fact that he's got to be smarter. I think that even with, you know, everything that we're talking about with them getting and establishing a running game last night and all the things they did positively, he had a lot of yards. But with those yards, he took a lot of hits too. Both quarterbacks did. A lot of guys were getting big hits. You've got to minimize those big hits if you need him to be at his best for playoffs and down the stretch.
Both of those teams were guilty of putting their quarterbacks in situations that they shouldn't have. And they got hit a lot more than they shouldn't have. Mariota, too. It wasn't just Deshaun Watson. And look, it's nice to see the team around Deshaun kind of do their part, too. I mean, are we going to just completely depend on Deshaun this entire season? It'd be nice, but it'd be nice to see the other units kind of come through as well. So I'm not going to sit here and criticize Deshaun Watson too much. He's obviously not putting up the numbers that he did this year that as he did last year. But look, if there's any type of fluidity between the three units, I'm all for it, even if Deshaun Watson doesn't have the best game.
Well, it's funny because, it seems like this is an offense where you look at individual numbers, and outside of Lamar Miller's
one big run.
If you take away 100 yards off his stat line, he had 11 rushes for 62 yards. That's not sexy. Alfred Blue had 13 for 49. So there's nothing sexy about these numbers. But I hate saying this, and I've said this a couple times now. I heard it mentioned on the broadcast last night. But damn it if it's not true. You always hear Bill O'Brien talking about complimentary football. And this is what happens when everybody plays that, when the offensive line is doing their job and giving Watson at least just enough time to find DeAndre Hopkins or Demaryius Thomas in the end zone, like you had predicted he would have a big game and he did. Or, you know, nobody had any sexy numbers. DeAndre Hopkins had the 5 catches for 74 yards. That led all the receivers. Demaryius Thomas had 2 touchdowns. The rushing yards, no one busted out for, like I said, if you take away the big 100-yard game, nobody went crazy out there. And Deshaun Watson threw for 210 yards. Nothing sexy, but they put up 34 on the second stingiest defense in the NFL. And the reason is because it's all clicking and working together, complementary football. It's crazy to see that it's all working like that, but it is working well.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, too. When you look at everything that you said and the fact that when this team is figuring things out as they go, too, right? And so they're kind of putting it together as they go. But you say on the Miller, give him it, even if he doesn't go for 97, right? But let's just say the hole was big enough that he gets 10 or 12 or anything like that. He's probably going to get you 100 by the end of the night.
So if he gets the 10 or 12, no.
I know, not just
he's still at like 75
but
on 12 carries.
But that drive continues. So then there might be other opportunities.
Sure.
But still, okay, you're right. There's nothing that's, waving pom-poms and sirens and going, but you're right, complimentary football and balance is all we've ever asked for. You and I were talking about this yesterday and saying, comparing who's got the better quarterback, who's got the better running game. Well, going in, the way they were running the ball, I thought Tennessee with the two-headed monster and kind of the thunder and lightning thing would give you more because of the fact that they had guys that were a little bit more productive. But last night, hey, like I said, Blue in short stints, when he subbed for Miller, gave you a good spurt and got you some extra yards after contact. And if this is what the Texans are doing, is they're figuring it out, they're getting balanced, they're playing complimentary football, they're spreading the ball around, you don't need as much from Deshaun Watson as you did a year ago when he was your everything. He was creating every bit of offense, was going through number 4.
Right.
Now you don't have to do that.
Well, and don't sleep on the fact that now he's got legitimately 3 weapons in the passing attack.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got 2 running backs that are running well. You've got an offensive line that may not be the best, but they're certainly not the worst like we thought they would be. There may be somewhere in between that, 20 to 32 range and as far as offensive lines go. But with the weapons that they have on offense, that's fine. And the fact that this defense probably isn't getting the credit that they deserve either, but this defense is playing really well. And everybody showed up last night. I mean, the secondary didn't play great. Corey Davis torched a lot of folks last night, and that's okay.
He's going to do that, though.
He's
going to
do that. But the front 7 for this team, when you go up and down the line and you look at, J.J. Watt produced well, Merciless, Covington, D.J. Reader, Clowney got in on a half sack and a tackle for a loss. I think they hit Mariota like 8-9 times. This defensive unit played well. They stopped them when they had to. They gave up the quick 10 points, but that was just on a blown coverage. I mean, you take away that blown coverage by the Honey Badger, and this is a 34-10
game. And you talk about the defense,
take away that. I mean, this is still 24-10 if you take away the 2 big plays, the 97-yard touchdown run and the blown coverage by the Honey Badger.
This wasn't close,
and that's a good football
team. Did you see him on Twitter? He defended himself.
Yeah, that was...
He said it wasn't his fault. Did you see that tweet?
That's absolutely not true. You can see on the film that he looks at the tight end chipping on the edge, and then he just turns his back like, well, I don't have to worry about that.
People are going to bring up the fumble and say it would have been closer.
The fumble.
The fact that he was ruled, he was down.
That was the right call, though.
It was moving a little bit.
It was moving, but if you heard, I don't know if you watched the broadcast, but the replay guy, they brought in their replay guy from New York, and he said it was moving, but he never lost control of it.
I mean, I don't know.
It may
either.
Have moved, but it never left his possession.
I'm just saying that people are going to bring that up.
If it rattles around, that's one thing. But once he's touching it and it's down, he's down, it's down. Because the same thing happened in the A&M game. They thought he didn't have complete control of the ball when his knee was down, Kellen Mond. But the fact that he was touching the ball and his knee was down, he's down.
Well, that's different because college football.
But he had someone touching him. He was touching the ball and he was down. He's down.
Okay, I'm just saying, people, because I mean, on Get Up this morning, they were all worried. They were worried about that call and the fact that that was the turning point in the game. And I think
I thought it was a fumble too. But like when I looked at the review, the replay, it looked from my angle. I'm not going to sit here and get into a big argument with you. It looked like he lost the ball, like it moved a little bit before his elbow hit the ground, before his body hit the ground or his knee hit the ground. But that's the angle I saw, and I only looked at it once. So I don't know.
But that was my impression of it too. That
but
it was
I felt like only Titans fans are going to be the ones that
Titans fans and AJ.
But the AJ. Thing is too. The other thing to keep in mind is to what your point was earlier. He stayed aggressive, and even after that, when people Titans fans come in there and say the Titans would have had a chance, well, you might have think that they had a chance, but guess what? They were aggressive, they were dominating, and they stayed with what was working for them. I don't think they would have lost the game regardless. So.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, let's get in here. Well, at least let's get Dakota in here before we go to break. He wants to talk about the Texans win. Dakota, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
I just want to give you guys a call. I want to congratulate. I'm looking into the future. The Houston Texans fans and the Houston Texans on their 11-5 season, and they're going to get in the playoffs, but they're going to get into the playoffs as a wild card team because the Indianapolis Colts are going to come back and win this division.
Dakota.
They're going to come into Texas.
Where do you buy your crack from, bro? That's potent stuff, man. That is some good crack you are smoking there.
No, it got me going today. But the Texans, I as much as I want the Browns to beat them, I don't think the Browns are going to do it. But I think they're going to lose to the Colts and the Eagles, which gives them two losses in the division. And the Colts are going to come away with the division when they're going to win out against the terrible Titans, the Jaguars, the Dolphins. They do have to play the Cowboys. That's going to be a tough game. But in the division, I think the Colts are going to pull this away. Since week four, they've only given up two sacks. So that offensive line has got it going for Andrew Luck.
It definitely does.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
It definitely has played well. That whole team, the Colts defense is playing well. The offensive line is playing well. Andrew Luck is playing out of his mind. There's talks of MVP considerations for him now. I think might be a little crazy, but okay. Ebron is just ridiculous at the tight end position. So they still have the weapons with T.Y. Hilton. So
if you believe that,
Colts
Dakota,
team. It's a good Colts team.
Get to your nearest grocery store. They have a whole aisle full of Kool-Aid. You better make sure they don't run out of the blue stuff, and you better drink plenty of it. But to think that, look, they're playing well, but let's not go crazy.
They're two behind the Texans in the loss call.
And actually three if they tie, since right now the Texans have the tiebreaker, winning the first matchup between the two teams. So that was a little bit overzealous, but you can't tell he was a Colts fan, can you? All right.
Good call, Dakota.
Real Q. We'll get to you next segment. And if you want to join those guys and get in on the fun, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. It must be ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Still hour number one, 3-hour show. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Fellas, it's always this time of the day on a Tuesday that I bring the news that needs to be addressed.
Bring the news!
Nick has already previously addressed it, Barry. I'm not sure if you're
the way back
of this
Wednesday
or not,
theme,
but what
yeah.
Nick did was he, in a very sneaky way, sent out a tweet that said, looking for topics or themes for Way Back Wednesday, just tweet Barry or Joel.
So you're just mailing it in. You're just like, you know what?
Just put it on
I don't have to do anything on this show.
Well, just because they're tweeting the ideas to you doesn't mean I can't see them.
I understand that, but why didn't you include your Twitter handle so that people
could
get to you
as well?
Because
I'm the one who sent out the tweet.
But
it
you're
says,
the producer.
At the producer Nick.
You're,
right
supposed, you're supposed to come up with it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to solidify a theme. Is what
you
I'm trying
and Fart
to do.
Shirara can work this out.
Yeah, I saw you give Fart Shirara
yes,
a mention.
Yes, I did. Give him, you know.
Give him some love.
Somebody else, where they tweeted us and included Fart Shirara. I'm like, why are you including that a-hole? It's not even a real person.
Now, wait a minute.
Get him out
now,
of
wait,
here.
Wait, wait, wait. You're calling him an a-hole, but you actually created that monster.
I didn't have anything
you didn't
to
create
do with
the
that.
Account,
I don't know what
you
you're talking about.
The,
he literally
know,
just forgot that he created
it.
That account. I guarantee you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't create the account. You think I'm going to take my time and energy to go make a fake email that I can
said,
burn?
You didn't create the account, but you created the premise
you
which
created the monster
the account.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a gift. Speaking of that, not that, you know, you look like a fart or anything, but the Bad Bunny performance yesterday at halftime.
Yeah. Yeah.
People start tweeting me. Oh,
Christina
bro,
did. Pink Valkyrie.
You look like Bad Bunny. Here's the thing, guys. I know y'all are in it for the chuckles, but not every white guy with glasses and I look alike. People will just any like I get this all the time. Any white guy that has glasses and short hair like a buzz cut like I do, I immediately get tweeted, I didn't know you were at this festival, or I didn't know you were out at this mall. Like, stop trying so hard. I look nothing like Bad Bunny. He has gold-rimmed wire glasses. I wear black plastic-rimmed glasses. Just because we both have short hair, it's not the same.
And I didn't get the reference until later because during halftime, I was obviously in the buffet line, stuffing my face with some wings.
Here comes the LU Dillon text.
So I did not see.
Bad Bunny?
No.
Well, Google him. Yeah. He looks like an idiot, which is why I look nothing like him.
Oh, okay. I mean, I thought, you know, and besides that, if you looked like Bad Bunny and had that part, whatever you're calling that he has in there, you'd be wearing a James Harden headband anyway because you wouldn't want to display that thing.
No, I would not. I certainly would not.
No. Yeah, I saw the tweets coming in and I was like, oh boy. At least with Pink Valkyrie, I knew you weren't going to unleash, but I was like, if anybody
well, she's
else.
A sweetheart. I wasn't going to mess
right,
with her.
But if anybody else taps into that one,
Arian
look out.
Fetus did it and I was like, bro, you don't. No, you're trying. That's trying way too hard. I don't look like him at all. And then somebody said, I don't know who that is. Donna said, can you please interpret this for me? I don't know what it means. And Arian Fetus responded back to her, said, I think it's his Spanish hit Bird's Nest from his album Long Deep Hugs. Which was funny. That part was funny. But no, I look nothing like, look, I don't look like that guy. I just don't look like that guy.
No.
Just because I have short hair and glasses, people just immediately if they're and he's Hispanic, I think. I don't even think he's white.
I just
he
Googled,
is. He doesn't even know English because I saw him.
No, he
on
does
some,
know English, doesn't he?
He did some musical performance besides the halftime thing with Mark Anthony, and I want to say somebody else that was more in the rap game.
Okay, there I look like him.
And they couldn't interview him because he didn't know English, and Mark Anthony was kind of interpreting on the fly for him.
Also,
oh, it was Will Smith. It was Will Smith, Mark Anthony, and him, and he couldn't take part in the interview afterwards because he didn't know English.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he's he was reggaeton is his genre, and he was born in
Isn't
Puerto
it reggaeton?
Rico.
Isn't that like the
I believe it's okay. reggaeton?
Yeah, get it correct.
Thanks,
okay. Aren't you married to a Latino?
I was going
to
say thanks, Lisa.
Yeah.
Get it correct. Reggaeton.
You know what it says his instrument is? Auto-tune.
Oh, wow.
That's so disrespectful.
That is.
That's not even an instrument. That auto-tune, that's just correcting a flaw. That is not an instrument.
Yeah, wow. You need to slow down in there, Lisa.
Years active, 2015 to present. And the song, I couldn't get past the fact that his glasses were slipping down his nose. And he just looked like a nerd just up there singing.
I saw the chicks dancing, and then I turned the channel.
It was not great.
I was watching
I
the
was
end of the Rockets
fan.
Imploding.
I was, oh, see, halftime. You would watch the Rockets
yes.
on that. Ugh.
I was flipping back and forth.
So, no, I don't like Bad Bunny, and Arian Fetus can kiss my ass.
I just Googled.
Lisa, because you threw that in there to correct the pronunciation,
yeah.
and I get that way too much at home, too. So, how would you pronounce T-I-J-U-A-N-A?
Tijuana.
You're incorrect, according to my
Tijuana.
Wife. No, it's Tijuana.
Oh, Tijuana?
Well, no, that's a reach,
Tia means your aunt.
Reggaeton so, and what he said, that was completely different. You butchered that.
He
say
was
it again.
Just the emphasis,
just reggaeton.
The emphasis on the syllable is all Barry was doing.
Why do
he
I
just
gotta,
didn't do reggaeton.
Reggaeton.
Okay. I'm not going to act like I'm an expert, but
why
I would
do
love...
Why do I have to say it
reggaeton.
Like
reggaeton. Yeah. You got to put that Latin touch to it.
You're not Latin.
That's exactly
so
right.
You're not wherever reggaeton is from. Like, you just say it.
Do you roll
normal.
Your R's when you speak?
No.
You should. You're married to a Latina.
Do really? Did you just say reggaeton? No, you didn't.
I think I heard the R roll.
No, you also just went ton.
Yeah, I know I did, but I was just...
Like today, that came up today. Lisa's like, the reporter's not going to say it right. Watch. He's going to say Tijuana. And I go, what's wrong with that? It's Tijuana. Because Tia is
But
like,
you can't say that on a TV broadcast here in the States. That won't make sense.
Here in Houston, they do it a lot. But
do they?
Again, to Barry's point, the whitest of white people try and roll their R's and do it.
Don't.
And then that's just bad.
It is bad.
But when... Because Lisa tries to be respectful when... doing that, throwing to a reporter of some kind of Hispanic heritage, she will always try and roll the R or make the
pronunciation. So is Bad Bunny and Bad Baby dating? Is that a thing?
What?
What?
Who's Bad
Baby.
Bad Baby. So I used to think it was called Bad Bobby because it was B-A-H-B-I. But then someone corrected me and said, no, she pronounced it baby. And I was like, what? So there's a Bad Baby. That's the Catch Me Outside chick.
Oh,
she's a rapper.
That's her performance name.
Yeah, that's her
stage
rap name. Bad Baby. You can catch her outside.
We're never going to give away your real name.
Bad Bunny. What? Boom Boom.
No, Barry Laminex just a stage name.
And then it's Bad Idiot. So Bad Bunny is. I don't know. This is this. It's horrible. I don't know. We should take Q's call.
Yeah, let's get him in real quick. Real Q, what's up?
Hey guys, it's Joe.
What up? What up?
Hey, I just have a question. Do you guys really think the Texans are what their records say they are? Now, I don't want to sound like a Johnny Raincloud or rain on their parade, but in reality, three of those games, I guess it was the Colts, the Cowboys, and the Broncos, those, to me, were the opposing teams to win or to lose. And so, to me, in reality, we're looking at a 6-6 Texans. And I think they're setting us up, if by some miracle they get into the playoffs, setting us up for a first round bet down. What do you guys think?
I think the crack that Barry referenced with the other caller, you got a piece of too.
6-6 Texans.
Come on, man. You can't go in reverse and take away wins. I mean, they're going to get in. They're going to be a playoff team, Q. And we just said they're getting better. Yet you can't be responsible for what other teams do or don't do. That allows you to prevail in games. But at least along the way, they've been making progress and getting better. And last night was probably the best performance in all eight of the wins.
Hey, he was just trying to get our thoughts. Do we think, you know, it's a deceiving record? And, I mean, that's legitimate. That was his question. I would initially say, like, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I'd probably say yes. But now that they're 8 in a row, I mean, they're doing something right.
I'm going to take all the wins out of it. I'm going to tell you this. I have been a doubter the entire time because of all the ways that they've won games. But after last night's game, my takeaway was I may be wrong and I may have to revisit what I think of this team because of all the things we talked about, because of the balance, because of all facets of the game, because of the fact that they were actually dominating on several different fronts. I may have, you know, they may be getting winning me over.
So, we'll do it. I know we got to get to a break, but there is some deception in this, but I don't think the Texans are fool's gold. So we'll discuss more in 2 o'clock.
Well, there you go. All right. So we got 1 hour in the books. We still got 2 hours to go. That means there's plenty of time for you to get in on the show. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Before we head to the break, I do want to remind you that with the holidays upon us and everybody coming over to different people's houses, relatives, friends, it is the season. You want to make sure that when you entertain that your house, your furniture, everything, the accessories in your house all are up to speed and don't have stains and holes and give you the kind of the bad reputation of having a rundown household. And it's easy to do when you shop at Gallery Furniture. Right now, Gallery Furniture, it has furniture for every room in your house. It's all solid wood. It's American made. Everything that they say is everything they're going to do, which means there's no back order slips. If you see it on the showroom floor, it'll be at your door within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. And it goes from there. Right now, when you buy $4,000 or more of Gallery Furniture, you get 40% back in free accessories. All three Gallery Furniture locations are offering this exact deal, which means that you can pick up end tables and rugs and lamps and different knickknacks and things that you need to really accessorize the great furniture you're going to get from Gallery Furniture. They have wonderful brands like Stickley and leather furniture, upholstered furniture, man cave furniture, bedrooms, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on and on. And especially in the bedroom where you can get those Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster mattresses, the people at Gallery Furniture are doing it again. Mac has gone out and said they're going to do the double down, which means not only if the Astros win it all, do you get it all next year, but if the Rockets win it all this year, you get it all for free. You spend $3,000 or more on mattresses, and if the Astros or the Rockets win it all, you get it, your mattresses, for free. So check it out for details at galleryfurniture.com. But just remember, they're open late every single night of the week, all the way through the holidays, 10 p.m. each and every night at any one of the three locations, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, Galleria, and I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways. And remember, when Max says it, the most important thing to you is Gallery really will save you money.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.